Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. You can promote your confessional Lutheran church and support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining our congregational sponsorship program, the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. You'll find an informational flyer on the support page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline, the Issues Etc. 300.
Lead not into temptation, Lord, where our grim foe and all his horde would vex our souls on every hand. Help us resist, help us to stand.
That stanza 7 of the hymn, Our Father, Who from Heaven Above. Have you ever wondered why it is among all the big things that we ask for in the Lord's Prayer regarding God's name and His kingdom? We pray for the forgiveness of sins. We pray for the sustenance that keeps us alive in body here in this world. We pray to be delivered from evil. Those are a lot of very big things. The one that seems the smallest, at least sometimes to us, is that one on temptation. Lead us not into temptation. Why does Jesus devote an entire petition of his prayer, as short as it is, to the subject of temptation? Maybe it's because Jesus understood what it meant to be tempted, and yet without sin. Joining us for part 7 of our series on the Lord's Prayer today, Lead Us Not Into Temptation, Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. He's pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, co-host of a weekly radio talk show called Table Talk Radio, author of the book, Has American Christianity Failed?, and publisher of a new resource, Lord, Teach Us to Pray. Brian, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd.
So why does Jesus devote an entire petition? And there's not a lot of real estate to go around in this prayer. It's very, very short, to the subject of temptation.
Yeah, Jesus knows that our days are marked by opposition, and from three different directions. There's three sources of temptation: the world and the flesh and the devil, and that those three are always trying to take away the gifts that the Lord wants to give to us. So there's actually a parallel in the structure here, which is really kind of amazing. We pray the first three petitions, the things that have to do with God. For his name, for his kingdom, and then for his will, because his name and his kingdom are opposed by the devil. And the same thing happens here. We pray for daily bread, and we pray for forgiveness of sins, and then we pray for deliverance, because daily bread and forgiveness are always being opposed. The devil is always lurking around, trying to take from us our daily bread, trying to take from us the comfort that comes from the forgiveness of sins, trying to steal from us these great gifts that God wants us to have and enjoy in this life. And so we're constantly fighting against the devil. And because we cannot do it on our own, because our own resources are not enough for us to stand and overcome the devil, the Lord has taught us to pray, deliver us from temptation. And he's promised to answer that prayer and deliver us.
It's kind of an odd wording. It isn't keep us from temptation or guard us from temptation. It is lead us not into temptation, almost as though God would if we didn't ask him not to. And yet Scripture says God tempts no one.
Yeah, James tells us that God tempts no one. There's a difference. The language that the Scripture uses for what God does is testing. So what God does is tests us. He tested Abraham, for example. He tested Moses. He tests all of his people. What the devil does is tempt us. Now, the trouble is, in the midst of this testing or temptation, it's almost impossible to tell the difference. You know, is this from the hand of God or is this from the hand of the devil? But we know that testing and temptation have two different sources and two different motivations and two different goals. So the Lord, out of his love, tests us for the strengthening of our faith and strengthening of hope and love. The devil, on the other hand, tempts us to destroy faith and hope and love and draw us away from the things of God, which comes from his hatred. So, but again, when we're in the middle of it, it's near impossible to tell the difference. So we pray that the Lord would lead us not into temptation, but in fact that he would lead us, you know, as we pray in the 23rd Psalm, he would lead us to where his gifts are, his mercy and his kindness, his love, the riches of his wisdom, until at last he leads us to the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting.
Let's talk about two things with respect to that. You said that the devil's temptations are intended to rob us of faith. Is part of Jesus' goal here to make us aware of how dangerous the temptations of devil, world, and flesh are in fact to us as Christians?
Yeah, the whole scripture pushes this onto us, and Jesus especially is going to say, look, you, the Christian life is not unopposed. The world hated me, it'll hate you. That no disciple is above his master, Jesus reminds us. And so we're constantly being warned by the apostles, for example, that we are in a battle, not against flesh and blood, but against spirits and powers and authorities of the air, this sort of thing. Paul tells us to take up the armor of God, the shield, for example, of faith, which is able to quench every fiery dart of the devil. Now, how's that, Todd? That Paul wants us to know that the devil has a bow and he lights his arrows on fire and he shoots them at us. We're just kind of ignorant of this. We ignore the devil. We ignore the world and the flesh. We act as if there's no opposition to the Christian faith or Christian confession. And so we go about in this false security, like we have no enemies. But you cannot read the Bible without page after page seeing that your life, your faith, your trust in God, your daily bread, the forgiveness of your sins, the kingdom of God itself is opposed on every side and suffers violence in every way.
I've been thinking a lot about this, Brian, and at first I'm tempted to say, no pun intended, I'm tempted to say that Christians today, maybe even Christians of our own stripe of Lutherans, don't take sin seriously enough. But then I think on reflecting on this petition and what you just said, maybe the real problem is we don't take temptation seriously enough.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, Luther warns in as we read his explanation of this in the Large Catechism that you stand today and you fall tomorrow. Paul warns us of that. He says, lest he who thinks he stands beware lest he fall, so that there is a being aware of our own weakness, the weakness of our nature, the weakness of our flesh, and the strength of the world and the devil, such that if we were to try, again, to fight against these things by our own resources and our own strength, we would fall. So there's kind of a false security that this petition is going to train us away from. The idea that, oh, I'm baptized, nothing can harm me, nothing can destroy me. I believe in Jesus today, I'll believe in him tomorrow, and there's no danger. I mean, Jesus warns about this with the parable of the sower. Remember, one receives the word with great joy and it sprouts up quickly, but then what comes? Temptation, persecution, either the joys of this life or the troubles of this life, which are both temptations for us, and the seed that was planted now withers and dies. So that we want to always be hearing the Lord's word and always be praying this prayer and trusting that the Lord himself who has delivered us will continue to deliver us. In fact, that's what we're asking.
Let's talk about those three things that you mentioned before in their proper order, just beginning with the devil, who is our primary opponent here, but not our only opponent, we should note here. How does the devil work with us? Because I think maybe the devil's even more clever than we give him credit for. The temptations aren't always as overt as, here's a sin, why don't you just do it?
Yeah, that's right. The devil's chief sin is to unbelief. And then if he can't get us there, it's despair. And then if he can't get us there, it's shame and vice, you know, breaking of the commandments that hurt our neighbor. But you're right, he works subtly. Luther says it like this. The devil comes along inciting and provoking in all directions, but especially agitating matters that concern the conscience and spiritual affairs, namely, to induce us to despise and disregard both the word and works of God, to tear us away from faith, hope, and love, and bring us into misbelief, false security, and obduracy, false pride. On the other hand, he would tempt us to despair, to denial of God, to blasphemy, and innumerable other shocking things. These are the snares and nets, the fiery darts that are shot most venomously into the heart, not by flesh and blood, but by the devil himself.
Then comes the world, and I guess I'm of the mind that the world's temptations are all pretty obvious. the world doesn't have the same kind of subtlety as the devil does.
Well, it's interesting. Later on in this petition, Luther says, this is one of the most interesting insights that Luther has. He says that the young people are particularly tempted by the flesh, and the middle-aged and older people are particularly tempted by the world, and Christians are particularly tempted by the devil. It's interesting to think about that, the temptations are going to come to us based on where we live, how old we are, what our station in life is, and this sort of thing, that the devil has his eye out particularly to attack the Christians. And that's important for us to remember, because I think we often think that the devil is, you know, he's prince of this world, and he's got the unbeliever, and he's got them under his thumb, and that's his kind of realm. But no, we learn from the scriptures that the devil is precisely attacking the church. That's who he hates the most. That's who he rails against the most. And his venom is spent on trying to cause us to not believe. The world, the temptations of the world, Luther says, come along for the middle age and for the older. And so that often has to do with pride, with envy, with enmity, with violence or unfaithfulness or vengeance or cursing. It especially has to do with the temptation to sin, to not love your neighbor, but to do it in a way that seems right. You know, and that's the kind of temptation that is going to come along with the world, the greed and protecting our own name and so forth.
Then he talks about the flesh. So, how are we to understand the temptations that come from within, the desires that are already built into us in our twisted and fallen nature?
Yeah, we call this theologically concupiscence, which means that our own kind of fallen nature has an inclination to sin. And Luther will just list some of them. This is what we call the old Adam, who hangs on our neck and exerts himself daily to unchastity, breaking the sixth commandment, laziness, gluttony, drunkenness, avarice, that means greed, and deception, lying, to defraud our neighbor, overcharge him, etc., all manner of evil lusts which cleave to us by nature. So that our flesh naturally wants to do those things which God forbids for our own good in his commandments.
This is, I want you to explain something he says here, because he paints it in rather extreme terms, and your explanation before we go to the break. This is what Luther says. Great and grievous indeed are these dangers and temptations which every Christian must bear, even though each one were alone by himself, so that every hour that we are in this vile life, we are attacked on all sides, chased and hunted down. We are moved to cry out and pray to God that God would not suffer us to become weary and faint and to relapse into sin, shame, and unbelief, for otherwise it would be impossible to overcome even the least temptation. With about a minute before the break, your thoughts on Luther's characterization there.
Sure. There is no theological neutral. You know, there's no theological Switzerland. It's not, you know, if you just kind of sit there and don't do anything, that things are just going to stay the same. No, we have forces working against us. The devil himself and all the demons, the master of a thousand arts, who in every day doesn't sleep, but is trying to draw us away from the Lord's word and his kindness. And the devil has allies in the world all around us. If we live in this world, we live a life opposed by the world, which is marked by unbelief. And even an ally inside of us, our own sinful flesh, is working against us and working against our faith, working against our trust in the Lord's mercy, and working against our love for the neighbor, our hope in God and the resurrection. So that to do nothing is to fall to temptation. To do nothing is to spiritually regress. To do nothing is to wither. So that this prayer that Jesus teaches us, lead us not into temptation, is warning us that our Christian life, our faith and our love and our hope in God are always being opposed, and always, always we need the Lord's help so that we would stand.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest. It's part 7 of our series with him on the Lord's Prayer. Today we're talking about lead us not into temptation. When we come back, this is one of those things that if we are to believe what our father in the faith, Luther, says about it, we should be praying all the time. Stay tuned. I wish that it would stop. Tempted by the fruit of another. Tempted, but the truth is discovered. I've got some friends down in Houston. Join Mark and Molly Hemingway, Brian Wolfmiller, Rod Dreher, Jennifer Roback Morse, Scott Murray, and me for the 2017 Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 10th and Saturday, November 11th in Houston, Texas. Registration is $120. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, November 10th and 11th in Houston.
And they won't ask me questions.
What is the state of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in 2017? Take an in-depth look at trends, data, and stories from around the LCMS when you read the Lutheran Witness Magazine's annual State of the Synod issue this November. Visit cph.org/trilutheranwitness to get 6 issues for only $6.99. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective. cph.org/trilutheranwitness.
Spiritual and religious. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th century.
Jesus has come and brings pleasure eternal.
The 11th century. The 8th century. The 4th century. The best of the Church's music from the past 2,000 years, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
And I'm gonna tap dance on his head. Don't tempt me. Don't tempt me.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the Lord's Prayer petition, Lead Us Not Into Temptation, in our series with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, and co-host of a weekly radio show called Table Talk Radio. A week from today, we're going to be on a flight to Houston, Texas for the Issues Etc. Fall Making the Case Conference. Brian, when are you leaving to come down and speak at the conference?
Next Friday. I can't wait for this. This is going to be the best. Every day I'm hearing from people who are going to be there, and this is one of the great things about your conference. It's just like it's like a mini picture of the resurrection, you know, all our friends gathered up together. And I think, Todd, Evan and I were talking about this. You guys had mentioned sponsorships, and I think Table Talk Radio wanted to see if we could sponsor a couple of folks who want to come to the conference but don't have the cash for it. So hopefully we got that sorted out so that everyone who wants to come can come and join us for that. It should be. I can't wait. It's going to be great.
Folks, you could take up Brian on his generous offer there. Attendance at the conference is limited to 400. Registration is $120. That includes 3 meals. Brian Wolfmiller will be joined by Mark and Molly Hemingway, Rod Dreher, Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse, and Dr. Scott Murray, all presenting on a variety of subjects for our conference attendees. Find out more and register at issuesetc.org or give us a call during regular business hours, 618-223-8385, and we will help you register for the Issues Etc. Fall Making the Case Conference, November 10th and 11th in Houston, Texas. Luther seems to assume that we're going to not only pray this all the time, but that we really, really need to pray this all the time. Talk about that, Brian.
Yeah, this is one of the ways that, I don't know if this is right or not, Todd. You can rebuke me if I need to be rebuked, but one of the ways that I'll judge a person's theology is by how often they mention the devil. I'll judge a preacher by how often he preaches about the devil, or more than likely, how often he fails to mention the devil. The devil never comes into his thought, because there's a danger, simply because we cannot see the devil, that we forget that he is our great enemy. Now, you can't read Luther. You can't read a page of Luther without reading about the devil. You can't sing any of his hymns without singing about the devil. In fact, this great, mighty fortress that we were all singing all week last week and this week is this, I mean, a sort of horrifying pic. If you would have made A Mighty Fortress into a movie, it would be rated R and be on Halloween night. The devils all the world should fill, all eager to devour us. We tremble not. we fear no evil. They shall not overpower you. This like horde of demons creeping around trying to eat up our flesh, that this is always happening. But we often don't feel it, or at least we don't see it. We're not aware of it. And so we go along acting like there's no danger at all. It's like the scene, there's one of the Toy Story movies the kids were watching, and there's this great scene where the toys were in a cone, like a traffic cone, and they're walking across, they're sneaking across the street, and they think that they're being so sneaky, but in the meantime, all these cars are swerving to miss them, and it's this huge accident, and it's just this disaster, and they have no idea that they almost got crushed and run over and destroyed about 40 times, and they get across the street, and they throw off the cone, and they think that they've made it just safe. This is how we bumble through our own lives. I mean, here comes the devil's fiery darts, one after another, whoosh, whoosh, flying all around us, all by us. Every day we walk in danger of all of these troubles, and we think that we're safe. We think that we're fine. We think that there's no danger at all. And so the Lord comes and he says, hey, pray, lead us not into temptation, because you are surrounded on every side by dangers and difficulties and trials, and your faith is constantly being attacked. And don't forget it. You do not live a life unopposed.
Finally, with only a minute here, Luther says, if we try and face the devil, the flesh, and the world on our own, we will only make more room for them to operate. About 30 seconds for your thoughts on that.
Yeah, if we take our own resources and muster them to fight against the devil, then we are doomed. This is why we don't sing about being Christian soldiers marching out to war. There is one who holds the field for us, Jesus Christ, the only one who could stand against the devil and overcome him, always and also for us. So that we pray, lead us not into temptation. And at that word, Jesus himself is mustered to go and fight for us. And when he stands to fight for us, he always wins the victory and overcomes the devil and keeps us from temptation. God be praised for that.
Pastor Brian Wolf Miller is pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, co-host of a weekly radio talk show called Table Talk Radio, author of the book Has American Christianity Failed, and publisher of a new resource titled Lord Teach Us to Pray. You can download it for free under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Brian, thank you very much for being our guest.
You got it. See you next week.
In hour two of Issues Etc., Terry Mattingly joins us. We're going to talk about a Washington Post feature that was a little write-up on Rod Dreher, author of The Benedict Option. Terry has a few bones to pick with that, and then we'll talk about a abortion litigation tactic being used in Kansas at the Supreme Court, and Harvey Weinstein's employment contract with Margot Cleveland of The Federalist. Hour two of Issues Etc. is next.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
The grace of God, the church's music, the Lord's Supper every service, every Sunday, preaching Christ crucified and risen, our hope for years to come. There is hope in St. Louis, Hope Lutheran Church, that is. 5218 Neosho Street, St. Louis, Missouri. Find us on the web at hopelutheranstl.org.
Hey, Todd. What have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore. Thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority. They've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.